I want to begin tonight with a description. Who am I? And see if you can figure out who this is. And I know that you will. This man is called the last of the judges and the first of the prophets. His parents were Elkanah and Hannah, a very devout and devoted couple. You may recall that Hannah was not able to have a child for a period of time. And every year when they would go to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, she would pour out her soul to God, praying for a child, praying for a son. She even made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." That part, "no razor shall come upon his head," again, indicative of the Nazarite vow that we studied about when we studied Samson. But she prayed fervently, poured out her heart. You remember Eli the priest saw her praying so fervently, saw her lips moving, but no words audibly heard. And he accused her of being drunk. But she explained, "No, this is anguish of my soul, that I pour out my desires to the Lord." The Lord heard her prayer, blessed her with a son. And he grew up in the Lord's house and ministered to the Lord. She kept her vow, and she brought her son, after she had weaned him, to serve with Eli the priest. And each year when his parents came to sacrifice at Shiloh, his mother brought a little robe for her son. Who am I? He probably figured out probably early on this. We're speaking of Samuel. Hebrews 11:32, we find Samuel listed in Faith's Hall of Fame. "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." What is it about Samuel? What is it about his faith that would cause him to be listed among those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11? That's quite a task to study his life, as his life is discussed throughout the book of 1 Samuel. And we don't have the time to do that. But I would like for us to consider three occasions in Samuel's life. Three incidents in his life which to me tell us something about his faith, and tell us how we need to emulate his faith. These incidents from Samuel's life, in fact, his faith, really shine when we consider the times in which he lived. And the times in which he lived were spiritually and morally bankrupt. Even Eli's own sons were living immorally. And that's when Samuel came into prominence. But the first occasion in his life that I'd like for us to consider is when he was serving with Eli the priest at Shiloh. We'll call it the reception. The reception. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1 says, "Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation." Notice, first of all, it says the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. We don't know how old he was at this point. Burton Kaufman suggests he may have been 12 years old. I told Nathan Lunsford a while ago that he may have been his age. Nathan is 9. We don't know how old he was. But the word of the Lord, notice, was rare in those days. And I think that would give us an indication as to the spiritual health of Israel. The word of the Lord hadn't been shared. No revelations had been given recently. No doubt that was a reflection on Israel. The word of the Lord was rare. Some versions say precious. And certainly the word of the Lord was precious because it was rare. But it's in that day that the Lord breaks the silence, if you will, and he calls out to Samuel. The Lord called to Samuel. We read in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 3. You remember that when the Lord called Samuel, he rushed to Eli's room, thinking that it was Eli that had called him. And Eli sent him back to bed. And this was probably in the wee hours of the morning. Eli said, "I didn't call you." It happened again. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel rushed to Eli's bedside. Eli responded again, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." A third time it happened. And then after the third time, Eli perceived that it was the Lord that was calling Samuel. So he gave these instructions. Verse 9. Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." The Lord went on to tell him that he was about to punish Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, because his sons made themselves vile, and he, Eli, had not restrained them as he should. And so Samuel was burdened with that message of punishment for Eli and his sons. And the scripture says that he didn't want to tell Eli the bad news. But Eli, the next morning, insists. He wants to know, "What did the Lord tell you?" And so the scripture tells us that Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. I want to underscore in this incident, this occasion in Samuel's life, that statement, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And I would add this statement that I think would indicate Samuel's approach to life, even as a boy. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Command, and I will obey." From that instruction of Eli to Samuel, to give that response when the Lord called, "Speak, for your servant hears." And then to see in his life, I believe you'll agree that he had that attitude, "You speak, I will listen, and I will obey." And that seemed to be his theme throughout his life, that he was obedient to the Lord, listening and heeding the Lord's instructions. That's a lesson in faith, a lesson in faith for us. Samuel continued to listen to the Lord's word and was diligent about obeying him. And even when others around him were not obedient to the Lord, Samuel sought to warn them and encourage them to be obedient and even rebuke them when they were disobedient, even if it was the king of Israel. Let me share with you two incidences where Samuel had to rebuke the king of Israel. The first king being Saul, of course. Those incidences, we could find two of them in 1 Samuel 13 and then in 1 Samuel 15. In 1 Samuel 13, there was a national crisis had arisen because the Philistines were threatening Israel again. And so Saul, the king, summoned the people to Gilgal. And they would offer offerings to God before they went into battle. And so here they were waiting, and Samuel was delayed. Saul is so anxious and so impatient that he takes it upon himself to offer those offerings to God, which was not his place to do it. And notice what Samuel says to the king. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. We know him to be David. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Remember now, Samuel, yes, he's the last judge, the first prophet, but he's speaking to the king of Israel, but he rebukes him because he's been disobedient to God. The same thing happens over in 1 Samuel 15, when Saul was incomplete in his obedience. You remember God instructed Saul through Samuel to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, to punish them for how they had treated the people of Israel in the past. And Saul went with his army, and and destroyed much of the Amalekites. But you'll remember in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 15, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. So he was incomplete in his obedience. And Samuel confronts him. And Saul, it's interesting to see, Saul is so excited when he sees Samuel and tells him, I've been obedient to the Lord. What is the bleating of the sheep that I hear? Samuel asks. You remember how Saul responded and how he tried to blame the people. The people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen and so forth. He tried to pass it off on the people and not accept the blame for his participation. And in these marvelous words, Samuel says to him, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So once again, here's Samuel standing boldly before King Saul, saying, you have disobeyed God. To obey is better than sacrifice. But I just share with you, remind you of those two occasions as examples of how not only did Samuel seek, he wasn't perfect by any means, but he sought to listen to God, to his instructions, and to do his best to obey and to help his people and rebuke his people when they didn't obey the Lord. So speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Command and I will obey, seems to characterize Samuel's life from his childhood. What about our faith and obedience? Do we have a faith like Samuel? Do we have that attitude, speak, Lord, through your word, command and I will obey? I believe that's a lesson that the Hebrew writer, by inspiration, wanted us to learn from Samuel. He's one of those great heroes of faith because he would listen to the Lord and sought to obey him. Let's look at another incident in his life. We'll call this one, mark it by the word intercession. Intercession. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. The Israelites are being bothered again by the Philistines. In 1 Samuel 7 verse 3, Samuel spoke to the house of Israel and said, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines. If you'll serve the Lord, if you'll get rid of those false gods, he will deliver you from the Philistines. Israel obeyed Samuel's instructions. Verse 4. They put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and so served the Lord only. Now watch what happens. Verse 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah and I will pray to the Lord for you. When you have time, get out a concordance. And in 1 Samuel, the first 15 chapters, if you have a search engine on your computer program, look up Samuel and the form of the word pray. And you'll find frequently how Samuel prayed. Samuel prayed. He would intervene. We'll see another occasion in a moment. He intervened for Israel. He prayed for Israel. Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. It's something we find Samuel doing very often on behalf of Israel. In verse 7, we see that the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, and so they thought, what a great opportunity to attack. And the children of Israel heard of it, and they were afraid. Verse 8, So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And notice Samuel's response. He took a suckling lamb and offered it as a burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. God caused the Philistines to run in flight. He caused a great thunder that confused them and scared them to where they actually fled. In verse 12, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" As I was studying about this passage, I was reminded about a song that we sing on occasion, "O Thou Fount of Every Blessing," by Robert Robinson. The second verse contains these words, perhaps you remember them: "Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." I wonder how many times we've sung that and thought, what does that mean? "Here I raise my Ebenezer." All we need to do is go back to this passage and see how it was used then. And it was the name given to this stone that Samuel set up to commemorate how the Lord had heard his prayers and had saved Israel from the Philistines once again. It was a stone of help, a stone of help. And so when we sing, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come," what we're saying is, God, we recognize how you have helped us in our struggles. And we thank you for your help and for your providence. But this is one example, one incident among many, where we find Samuel praying to God. He's mentioned in other Old Testament books and is recognized as a man of prayer. Here are two examples. Psalm 99, verse 6. "Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them." Jeremiah 15, verse 1. "The Lord said to me," Jeremiah says, "even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth." You put that in its context, you see the Lord's disgust with Judah, and how they hadn't obeyed the Lord, how they had rejected him. And the Lord is saying through Jeremiah, even if these two great men of prayer — notice that both Moses and Samuel often interceded for Israel — even if that great man of prayer Moses, even if that great man of prayer Samuel, were to pray on behalf of Judah, "my mind would not be favorable toward this people." That's how far they had gone. That even these great men of prayer would not influence God. That's how far Judah had gone into sin. But in that statement, again, Samuel is mentioned here because he was a man of prayer, because he interceded for Israel. And that's a lesson in faith for us. That Samuel was obedient, he listened to the Lord, followed his instructions, but he was always praying. He was always praying. As we apply it to our lives, let's ask ourselves if the measure of our faith is determined by our prayers. How strong is our faith? How strong is our faith? One other occasion in Samuel's life, we'll call this the confrontation. The confrontation. This is when he confronted Israel for their sinful request for a king. They just finished, as we said earlier, Samuel was the last judge. The people were tired of that arrangement. And they wanted to be like the other nations we read in chapter 8. They wanted a king to rule over them. Samuel was very displeased by this request. But God instructed him, Samuel, it's not you they've rejected, it's me. But God instructed him, go ahead, grant them what they desire, but warn them how a king will rule among you. And Samuel did just that. And among the things he warned them about is how that Saul, or the king, would expect the daughters of Israel to serve in some capacities to help the army. How the young men in Israel would be called to war. How that the king would expect taxes to be paid. And he warned them, this is what the king is going to do. But the people wanted a king. And he confronted them in 1 Samuel chapter 12. We read of this. He says of himself that he's old and gray. But he addresses the people of Israel concerning their sin of asking a king for themselves, not recognizing, not fully submitting to their king, God. And he warned them in verse 14 and 15. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Samuel saying, king or no king, you still have to be obedient to the Lord. And you and your king better both continue following him, or else the Lord will be against you. On this occasion again, the people ask Samuel to pray to God for forgiveness, for their asking for a king to rule over them. Samuel responded, verse 20 of 1 Samuel 12. Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. Verse 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. I want you to see in that last statement some things that were indicative of the life of Samuel throughout his life. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Again, old and gray at this point. But he stood before them, reminded them, I have been praying for you. And I'll not sin against you by not continuing to pray for you. So he was not only saying that he would pray, but they knew as he stood before them that he was a man of prayer. But also, he stressed to them again that they must fear the Lord and keep his commandments. And as Samuel stood before them, not only were those the words that were from God, and it underscored the importance of obeying him, but think about who it was standing before them. Samuel himself, that from a child he said, speak, for your servant hears. And by his life, he lived out that statement, command, and I will obey. So as he is old and gray before the people, he's still emphasizing prayer and obedience to the Lord. What do we learn about faith from Samuel? Many things. But what we wanted to emphasize tonight are two. We learn to pray and obey. We learn to pray and obey. Two fundamental things in our relationship with God, but two fundamentally important, necessary things if we would be people of faith. And isn't that what God is looking for? He's looking for faith. And we can demonstrate our faith by acknowledging him in everything that we do, by seeking His guidance, by continually going to Him in prayer on our behalf and on behalf of others. And we can demonstrate that faith by having that same attitude of Samuel. Speak, for your servant hears. Command, and I will obey. Where's your faith tonight? Has your faith been demonstrated? Will you not now, if you haven't already, respond in faithful obedience to the Lord? Turning from sin, confessing Jesus, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And may we as Christians continue to emulate the faith of these heroes of faith. But learn from Samuel especially that we need to be always people of prayer. And people always who are striving to obey the Lord. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ tonight, if you need to obey the Lord, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?